Hometown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports to hook you up with tickets to check out comedy legend Eddie Griffin live at Hard Rock Sacramento, April 13th. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. We will give you those two numbers for two callers and two pairs of tickets. For more information, visit sactownsports.com. We are joined by our guy, Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee and Candlestick Chronicles. Chris, how you doing? We just got word, Chris. Get your reaction. We just got word. Two things. You can choose your path. Warriors have been fielding trade offers for Andrew Wiggins on a potential player for player swap. There appears to be enough interest in Wiggins where Golden State won't have to attach draft assets. Or the second way we can go with this is that it is official, I believe, from Adam Schefter 20 minutes ago, Ben Johnson staying in Detroit. The flow is yours. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, man. Here I was thinking we were going to talk Kings Grizz.
Or that's number three option.
I guess we can start with Ben Johnson. Yeah, you know, I think it was pretty surprising, and you're seeing, I don't know if it's conflicting reports, but you Adam Schefter tweeted out that he might not be the head coaching candidate that many have assumed. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but he's also said that the asking price might be a little high, which is interesting. We don't know, you know, coaches' salaries are not made public, but my guess is that some of the best coaches in the league are making $15 to $20 million a year now. And I'm wondering, you know, did Ben Johnson come in hot and say, you know, I want 17, despite not having any head coaching experience. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I think it's obviously huge news for the Lions, because I think that was one of the biggest questions facing them this offseason was, you know, as good as their offense was, would it look the same if Ben Johnson took a head coaching job elsewhere? And now it looks like he's coming back. So they get to run it back. You know, they have a ton of talented players. They have a really good offensive line, and obviously they have a good scheme. So they're going to be set offensively, at least. And if they can improve the defense, I would expect them to be a formidable team in the NFC as long as that group's still together.
Chris, a lot was made on Sunday about Dan Campbell's or Dan Gamble, if you will, his nice. Everything that all of his decisions the other day, including, you know, Ben Johnson running the ball in that third and goal. But all that to say, what have you thought about Kyle Shanahan and his play calling and his specifically his game management so far through two games?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think zooming out from like taking a macro look at Kyle Shanahan, he's not known for being super aggressive, right? Like
right.
he's the guy who would much rather play for a field goal at the end of a half than risk going for a touchdown and the other team getting the ball back with a chance to score. But I think you see, you know, as maddening as that can be sometimes for 49ers fans, I think you see the other side of it and why right. that might work, and the case being Dan Campbell deciding to be ultra aggressive in those fourth down scenarios. And, you know, I know there's a lot of discussion about, you know, whether or not Dan Campbell made the right decisions or not. I mean, really, those are toss up decisions. Those are toss up calls. And, you know, I know the analytics people view it in a way that, you know, he absolutely made the right call. There's no second guessing. It was absolutely the right call. I mean, they lost, and a big factor in the Lions losing. I'm not saying the only factor in the Lions losing were those decisions to go for it on fourth down and be aggressive there, but it was absolutely a factor. And you heard the 49ers say, you know, when Josh Reynolds dropped the first fourth down conversion, that was a huge turning point in the game, and it absolutely was. And those are the things you risk when you risk going for it. So you know, comparing that to Kyle Shanahan and his less aggressive approach, you know, there are multiple ways to skin a cat. There isn't one way to do it. And that's just Kyle Shanahan's style. He's going to be deliberate. He's going to limit the possession game. He's going to know that his offense is going to be more than likely more efficient than the other team's offenses. So if you limit their possessions and you try to maximize yours, then that's part of his formula for winning games. So it's worked so far. it hasn't always worked in the past. And you can, you know, think back to the last Super Bowl the 49ers had here in Miami at the end of the first half. Kyle Shanahan's conservative play calling might have bit him there, even though it seemed like, you know, had George Kittle, you remember that offensive pass interference that they called on him. Had that not been called, the 49ers would have had, I think, one timeout and 15 seconds within, you know, I think the 15-yard line or something like that. Yeah, like it's one of those things. People love to talk about it. I think there are just multiple ways to approach it, not just hardlining it one way or another.
Talking to Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, and the Sacramento Bee on the road trip with the Kings. One more Niners question before we get to Kings. Chris, it's early, and we're going to talk to you next week as well, but it's being asked to Niner fans how confident they are in this game against the Chiefs, 10 being the highest, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. And it's early now, but Omenihu goes out for the Chiefs, and the Niners are very, very healthy. What number would you say your confidence level is at for the Niners going into this game? Initially, we'll ask you again next week, but initially.
I'm so bad at answering these questions because my answers generally are just not that compelling. Like, I'm somewhere between a 4 and a 6.
Okay. Like, okay.
I feel that the Niners are obviously a really good team. They're a really balanced team. They're more balanced than the Chiefs, in my opinion. But I think the Chiefs defense has been better, and Patrick Mahomes obviously gives the Chiefs the edge at quarterback. So if you believe that the Chiefs have the better quarterback and the better defense, which I do right now based on the way the 49ers defense has played the last few weeks in the playoffs, then I think it's hard to feel super confident in what the 49ers can bring. Now, that being said, I think the 49ers defense should play better than it has and is a better defense than it's been, particularly against the run. And I think they have an extra week now to figure some of that stuff out, to clean it up. And if they can slow the run against the Chiefs, then that makes them a little bit more one-dimensional. And obviously when that dimension is Patrick Mahomes, that's still an immensely tough challenge, probably the biggest challenge a team can have in the Super Bowl. And so that's no small thing, obviously. But I think the 49ers offense is better than the last time they faced the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I think Brock Purdy is an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. Christian McCaffrey is obviously an upgrade over Raheem Mostert. And I think Brandon Ayuk is a better receiver than Emmanuel Sanders. And you have Deebo Samuel, who's no longer a rookie. He's an established all-pro type player in the league. And you have Trent Williams, who's an upgrade over Joe Staley, too. I think the 49ers are a very different team this time around, but in terms of my confidence level, man, it's tough to, you know, I can look at the regular season and say, yeah, the Chiefs didn't have a great regular season, particularly on the offensive end. And they don't have the playmakers that they had when they had Tyreek Hill and all those other guys in 2019. But at the same time, you can look at the other side of the ball and say, man, this is far and away the best defense the Chiefs have had since Patrick Mahomes has been there. You know, it's Steve Spagnuolo is a really good defensive coordinator. I don't think that should be overlooked at all. But if you're asking me my confidence level and the 49ers winning, like, to me, it feels like a toss up game right now. So I know that's not compelling radio to, you know, I should say like, oh, man, the Niners are going to come out and smash them, or, oh, the Chiefs are going to win by 40. Like, I feel like it's going to be a great game, a great matchup. And I'm kind of riding the fence right now. And I apologize for that. But that's just me being honest.
No need at all. Yeah. I think that's fair. And, you know, we have time for hype. We still have like a week and a half of this thing.
That's
so
right.
We can get you to that 10 at some point. Moving on to the Kings now. What did you think of yesterday's performance, just in terms of, like, you know, that was obviously a Memphis team that was down incredibly bad in terms of injuries. Tons of G Leaguers out there and guys who are just getting new opportunities. Was it an effort thing for you yesterday from the Kings side, or was it just simply they were really bad from the perimeter? And if you would say that, you know, how concerning is it that they put up 103 points just because they can't hit from the perimeter?
You know, like, I think you guys know, maybe in the conversations we've had offline about the Kings, that I can be pretty hard on them. But in talking to I talked to an assistant coach at Shoot Around yesterday about the game and just about the state of the Grizzlies. And, you know, the Grizzlies had won 3 of 4 coming in,
right?
And including wins here in Miami And they beat another good team. I think maybe it was Toronto, but they beat Miami on the road, despite basically the roster looking very similar to how it was last night. And it's just because they play really hard and they play well defensively. And I thought the Grizzlies played really hard and played really well defensively. And what the assistant coach told me at shoot around was like, this is not going to be an easy game. This is going to be a really difficult game because these guys are playing their ass off. And all those dudes, and Mike Brown said it after the game, like a lot of those guys are playing for their NBA careers. Like there's a level of desperation that they have in comparison to the Kings, who are, you know, in the middle of this long road trip and probably not playing with the same level of desperation that some of those Grizzlies guys who are fighting for their futures in the league are. So from that standpoint, like, you know, watching it up close, it wasn't like the Kings were just, you know, getting anything they wanted defensively. I thought the Grizzlies did play really well defensively. Offensively, the Grizzlies were super challenged, right? They were just not, they had no options really. When you have Jaren Jackson handling the ball and being their primary playmaker, that tells you everything you need to know about the state of the Grizzlies roster and all their health issues. But I'm not, you know, like if you were to tell me a month ago that the Kings or the Grizzlies would be missing four of their five starters and the Kings would only score 104 points, it would be like super concerning. But it's not all that concerning to me, just given how that, like, the Grizzlies have proven that they can play deep, that they can defend and they can play really hard. And Memphis is it's just a tough place to play in general. So I'm not all that concerned, to be honest. Like the Kings got the win, which is the most important thing. But it wasn't one of those games where they were just going to go in there and win by 30. You know, I think they, as good as Ja Morant is, the Kings will tell you, I think that the Grizzlies are a much easier team to score against when he's on the court, just because of what he is defensively. And when the Grizzlies have all their backup guys in like they did last night, they're going to play really hard defensively. And I think that's what we saw.
Yeah, they beat the Grizzlies beat the Magic. That is they beat the Magic at home on Friday. So, and basically everybody played for the Magic. So a good win for the Grizzlies. Only difference was that Luke Kennard played against the Magic. Chris Biederman, thank you so much. So Chris, are you in... You're in Miami right now?
Or you're still in Memphis? Right now,
okay, you're in Miami. You know, I'm going to...
Is this your town? Do you know this place?
I was in Miami in 2019, and it was outstanding. I'll get you. I will send you in, what is it, Little Havana? There was a Cuban spot that I mean, there's plenty out there. But you find a good Cuban spot out there, Chris, and you'll be all right.
All right, I'll tell him you sent me.
There you go. Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee and Candlestick Chronicles. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation about the Kings. Andrew Wiggins, you interested? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Thank you again to Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee and the Candlestick Chronicles out there in Miami. I went to Miami in 2019. What it was, this was the last big trip because obviously we all know what happened in 2020. We had a destination wedding in Mexico. So from Mexico, we just did a huge, I mean, no baby at this point in time.
Going to have to connect some
dots there. It was just a monster move. So we were just gone for like 2 weeks.
Really?
And we went to a wedding in Mexico, hung out for like a week in Mexico.
Yeah.
And then I think it was cheaper to fly from Mexico from where we were.
Right.
We had never done Miami before.
Yeah.
So we fly from Mexico to Miami.
Sure.
Party in Miami.
Are we talking summer?
Summer. This is in the summer. We were out until 4 a.m. It was Lil Boosie's birthday.
Okay.
He performed at about 3 a.m.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, man, I'm kind of washed up here. Yeah, I'm not 30 yet, right? But I'm kind of washed up here, trying to hang with the youngins. You go to the pregame, right? The pre-club.
Right.
That starts at 12. I'm thinking this is supposed to be the height of everything. That starts at 12. We take, you know, because we buy one of the packages. On the beach, they're all over. Hey, package, you want a package? Right. You want a package? We get the, we buy a package, somebody that we think just looks trustworthy.
Sure.
Yeah. Buy the package. You know, So
I mean, we're about to be in Vegas. So right. I Google it. It's commonplace.
I Google it. I'm okay. This looks legit. We go. It starts at 12 a.m. Then we go to the club. That's at, I don't know, what was it? Yeah, Boosie performs at 3 a.m. We get back at 5
that's when
in
they
the
get
morning.
On. That's when they that's get when they on get the on. Stage. Yeah.
Now it was his birthday. It wasn't a full concert. Because that's not where we went. I'm not
right,
a,
of course. Yeah,
I didn't go to see Boosie. Yeah. But Boosie was there, and he was enjoying himself on his birthday. But there was a Wild'n Out restaurant.
Really?
Yes.
Like the show
Wild'n Out bar restaurant, and we're just walking along the strip.
Okay.
And a drink. It's supposed to be shared. Okay.
Talking like a fishbowl situation?
It wasn't a fishbowl, though.
Okay.
And it was $32. All the drinks were in the 20s and the 30s.
And it was two share, but it was a
twofer. It was not a bowl.
Okay.
So, Chris Biederman, be careful out there. Yeah. It's expensive in Miami. I've never, you know, the people want to do, a lot of people want to do bachelor parties and bachelorettes in Miami, and then they look up how expensive, because it's not expensive to fly there.
Of course, yeah.
But it's the opposite of going to some of these other places. Hey,
right.
After the flight, it's cheap everywhere. No, you can get there.
Well, I think that's why.
But they're going to get that money back.
You said in the morning show, like, Scottsdale really is more so. I think you said that you went to a wedding, but it feels like Arizona has kind of now turned into it's... It's sunny. It's close enough.
So there you go.
It's a lot cheaper.
Shout out to Chris Biederman. As we have a report coming out here, this is from Anthony Slater. The Warriors have been fielding trade offers for Andrew Wiggins in potential player-for-player swaps.
Ooh.
There appears to be enough interest. This is from Evan Sittery. There appears to be enough interest in Wiggins where Golden State won't have to attach draft assets. Mm.
That's interesting. A player-for-player swap makes it, I mean, it really just shortens the pool down. I mean, no pun intended there with Jordan Poole.
Harrison Barnes, come on down.
I mean, no joke.
I wouldn't do that deal now.
That's the kind of swap that they would have to be looking for is like, because I don't know. Like, yeah, if you're looking for a player swap, that sounds to me like you're looking for somebody who's contributing now as much as Andrew Wiggins is. And I mean, how many people would just shuffle the deck for the sake of shuffling the deck, essentially, is where I think the Warriors are going to have to try and search for. And I don't know who's really in that spot.
Would the Kings do that? Would they want to do that? You trust that motor?
I don't. I definitely don't trust the motor. I guess you can maybe try and talk yourself into, hey, like, Wiggs in a new situation. Maybe there'll be some sort of boost of energy because he's just trying to go out there and prove he's not that guy, but that's still a really big risk. And yeah, to your point, maybe if HB was still the HB of 2 weeks ago, I think everyone would be more than willing, but
that was last week.
I think it's, well, it still stands.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm saying if this was, prior 30 balls, I think maybe we would be a lot more receptive to it, but you know, what is, at this point, what is Andrew Wiggins going to give you that Harrison Barnes hasn't given you?
I got your stats right here. Okay. Andrew Wiggins, 2023-2024 stats, averaging 12, and we got to do the points right now.
12?
Averaging 12.3 points per game, 4.2 rebounds, 1.6 assists on 43.4% shooting.
Okay.
He is averaging 26.9 minutes a game. Don't forget he got benched.
Yes, right. Okay. What's he shooting from three? Just curious.
Shooting from three, do you really?
I mean, it's a big part of it because HB's just standing. He was 2 of 10 yesterday. So if he, if Wiggins is getting 10 threes.
32%.
Oh, my gosh. We can't do this deal. I'm looking at
it.
It
better not be like in the 20s.
He's shooting 31% from three and 69.5% from free throw.
Can't have that.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
So
can't
you wouldn't it. Straight trade HB for Wig.
Now let's do HB's numbers.
I don't think so.
So Wiggins averaging 12.3 points per game.
He just needs a new scenery.
HB averaging 11.9 points per game. Wiggins averaging 4.2 rebounds a game. Harrison Barnes averaging 2.9 rebounds per game. Wiggins averaging 1.6 assists per game. Harrison Barnes 1.3 assists per game. Harrison shooting 47.9% from the field. Andrew Wiggins shooting 43.4%.
I've never seen Wiggins in a suit either.
He needs to get in the suit.
And I know that's a big selling point.
HB's heater right here. HB's up to 40.6% from three, and he is shooting 82.7% from free throw, and he's averaging 29.7 minutes to Wiggins' 26.9 minutes. This is as close to a wash as you can get.
Yeah. Like this I said, shuffling the deck for the sake of shuffling the deck.
I just feel like the ceiling for Wiggins is 28.
It's definitely higher, but the question is why would, and this is the question every team's going to have to ask, why would you believe it's going to work out for your situation?
Wiggins is 28, Harrison Barnes is 31. If Wiggins, I know it sounds funny, if Wiggins was 26, I'd do this and don't think. 2 years means that much to me. I mean, 28 years old.
What's the contract situation?
That's the other thing, too. I haven't looked at Wiggins is making this season. Let's see. Oh, this is just Kings. I'm on the wrong one here. Oh, Wiggins is making.
Wiggins is making
24 this year, 26 the following, 28 after that, upwards of $30 million
absolutely
in 26, 27. HB's contract only runs to 25, 26, and I think it peaks at like 20.
No.
So you're paying about $10 million per year more, ish, around there, for Andrew Wiggins. And you're getting similar production, I guess, maybe you to Nate's point, possibly. Like, you look at Wiggins' numbers every year except for this year, and he's a 17-point-per-game scorer at around 38 to 39% since he joined Golden State. That's a guy that the Kings could use, but I think the problem with Andrew Wiggins is the inconsistency is kind of built into him. And I don't think the Kings need more inconsistency.
It's a no for me, dog. Nate, we got to get that sound from Randy Jackson. It's a no for me, dog. We're not doing
it. Pretty recognizable signature.
We're not doing it. But what we are doing is getting back. We got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, is Domas now underrated? Maybe. Just maybe. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Andrew Wiggins or Harrison Barnes? That is the question. Shout out to the Sack Chat. Holding it down as always. And to the texters and callers. Going to open up the phone lines. Do you want Andrew Wiggins? He is being shopped around. And it right now sounds like it would be a pure swap. Okay, a pure swap. And we're sitting here comparing Andrew Wiggins to Harrison Barnes. Would you do that pure swap? I mean, Chris, I think it's – is it possible that Kevin Huerter is part of this conversation too? I know you probably don't want to lose that shooting because Andrew Wiggins has been a brick, so shooting 30% from three. But, you know, there are a couple different ways you can – you can't think about this. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Call in if you want to be a part of the conversation. And at 1 o'clock, in about an hour and a half, Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports to hook you up with tickets to check out comedy legend Eddie Griffin live at Hard Rock Sacramento April 13th. Hit up Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now looking for... we'll let you know when it happens. What caller? Not right now. Sorry. 1 o'clock. to win a pair of tickets. I went Ron Burgundy there as I'm reading this. You know, don't be careful what you put on this piece of paper. That is at 1 o'clock, not right now, at 1 o'clock. So, Chris, where did you net out on this Andrew Wiggins thing?
No, absolutely no.
Okay.
No.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely not. There's no reason for it. I mean, I just feel like maybe if the Kings were, again, if HB hadn't had the week that he had, and if, you know, if the Kings had maybe found themselves a little bit closer to the play-in tournament, maybe there's an argument for it, but it just doesn't feel like that's the right move for this team moving forward, and I'm pretty sure that would lock up more money than they already have allocated.
It's definitely a no for me, dog.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Randy.
What an icon. What an icon. But yeah, no, I'm good. I think I don't know who the Warriors are going to eventually find. Maybe I know.
Who do they want?
That's a great question. Like what is their goal? I don't know. I don't know if they're going to try and squeeze one last run into this thing. I don't know if they're just going to lean into the Pajemski Kuminga thing, which seems to me like the better route to go, but that's a phenomenal question. I mean, and if you're looking to swap Andrew Wiggins again, I just don't think there's many guys. Like, you can do Tobias Harris, but I think Philly is running into a lot of similar questions that we have here in Sacramento, except Tobias Harris is expiring, so they're almost getting out of that. I don't think they would want to sign up for 4 more years of a contract unless they feel like they can't get anything else for it. I just can't see it happening. I think that they're probably going to have to attach picks. I mean, that's really the only way I can see them just, if they want to ship off Wiggins, I think you're going to have to probably.
Well, they're saying they won't have to, Anthony Slater.
Though, maybe this is where Zach LaVine ends up. You know, here's one really bad contract for a contract that's also not great, but it's a little bit less. So, and it, you know, kicks the can down for Chicago as well. Maybe that's the move, but I just can't see anybody voluntarily taking Andrew Wiggins on their roster in the year 2024.
Yeah, and from Dwayne Baker on the SAC chat, this is from Dwayne. There's just so many reports out, so why not read one from the SAC chat?
Why not?
And Dwayne, Warriors are talking Wiggins and Paul for DeJounte Murray.
Wiggins and Paul for DeJounte Murray. I don't think that money works out at all. I think Paul makes 30 plus mil. Wiggins, as we established, makes 24.
Right, yeah.
I don't think DeJounte's
well,
making
unless it's DeJounte and make that money work. Who else would you get?
Clint Capella? Probably. Yeah, it would probably be
so
Capella.
So is the end of Looney?
My question would be, what does that do for Atlanta?
I don't know.
You get
no clue.
Paul's expiring, and then again, the problem here is Andrew Wiggins. His contract is terrible. Like,
but it
who's going to sign up for that?
That's what's so funny, because after the championship, everybody said they got him at a discount, which at that time they thought that guy
that was 26-year-old Andrew Wiggins. To your point,
that's right. That guy is worth $24 million a year.
Yeah,
this pumpkin that he turned back into is not.
No, not at all. No, and I mean, it becomes as well. I mean, it's definitely at a cheaper price, but it becomes, well, actually, it's not at a cheaper price. It's actually, well, cheaper in terms of trading, but like, I would rather have Kyle Kuzma. I would much rather take Kyle Kuzma for $22 million and then declining.
What about those picks?
I mean, but that's the risk. That's what I'm saying. Wiggins is technically cheaper in terms of, you can clearly just swap one for one with Wiggins, but if I'm taking on that contract, I'm at least going to get a guy that I believe in a little bit more, and it's a reduced price in terms of the actual payments that you're paying him. So, you know, yeah, you're going to have to sacrifice some picks, but I would sacrifice a couple picks in the name of just security of knowing, thinking you know what you're getting. With Andrew Wiggins, you have absolutely
zero
clue. You have no clue at all. And it could go the other way. Who knows? It's just not a risk I think the Kings, or really any team that's in a potential winning situation, should take. Like, that's a risk. That's a really big risk.
Prior to, Andrew Wiggins had an injury, and then he had the issue with with his family. Andrew Wiggins was shooting the three-point ball the best in his career.
Yeah, 39% on 6.8 attempts.
Coming off of a career year in 2022. That guy, the question is, will that guy show up? It's the same question as, will the Kevin Huerter from last season show up?
Right.
And at least Kevin Huerter is already on the team. There's no new chemistry there.
Yeah.
There's no way I do this deal. 916.
How about this?
Uh-huh.
This just came to my mind. Okay. I'm just trying to think. Would you do Andrew? Who says no? Andrew Wiggins for Ben Simmons. Like,
I think that's the kind of risk I think they would have to take. I would do that deal. It's basically their reclamation project part two.
Mm-hmm.
I used to call the Warriors last chance you of the NBA. You go there, you look good, right? And
yeah,
you ball
Quinn
out.
Cook, yeah.
Quinn Cook, yeah. Okay. Otto Porter Jr.,
right? Yeah,
got a ring, got a bag. Dante
Still
DiVincenzo,
off that. DiVincenzo
got a, didn't get a ring, but got a
yeah.
bag.
Yeah.
Okay, so next.
Great.
The newest
great.
Season of Last Chance
yeah.
U.
It's been off
in
Netflix
the Bay
for a
Area
years.
For the Warriors. Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
I'd do that deal in a heartbeat.
You got enough name recognition. Kind of maybe fix, hey,
yeah.
Draymond and Ben Simmons.
You know he needs to be
lethal.
Motivated.
Ain't going to be no
he can
better
be,
motivation than Wardell.
He might be the next Draymond-esque type
exactly.
guy. And if you're the Nets, hey, who wants a wing? We got 18 wings already.
Right.
Like we're fire wings.
Right.
Let's
exactly.
just have another one. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Steven, our guy. Steven wants to be a part of the conversation. Steven, don't tell me you want Wiggins.
I do.
Come
Why?
On.
Why not, dude?
For Harrison Barnes, straight
there.
Up?
There is a potential there. For I still believe there is still enough potential within that man to still have a chance to have a little bit further of a breakout. You know what I'm saying? He already had a nice breakout last year before his issues, before the injury, before the off court stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was already kind of having a slight resurgence. So I feel like I would take that risk, but not giving up Barnes. That's my whole deal. Also, I have a slight trade proposal. Nate, get the dump button ready. Are you guys sure you don't want to trade Steve Kerr for Mike Brown?
Enough. Okay. That's what it was. Where's Christopher Lott? Uh-huh. That's what it was. Goodbye, Steve. Because that was your fault, Nate. That's what it was.
What was
Chris
my
Berlant
fault?
Asked me, he said, hey, Alan, somebody called into our show and said they had put them in timeout. And I couldn't remember what the question was. Oh. And now I remember that's what it was. Well, now Steven's back in timeout. You're lucky
yes.
we got 2 weeks.
So how is
Super Bowl.
Any of this my fault?
Because you brought it up, trading Steve Kerr for Mike Brown.
You ask questions? You're the question asker?
We all ask
so
questions.
So that's my fault for asking a question, I guess. Huh?
We all ask
Should we
questions.
Get rid of the beam?
Cut that. Cut that. That was not me.
It was not you.
That was not me. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Chris. If you're going to have this conversation.
Light the beam! Light it!
If you're going to have this conversation, what about, why wouldn't you have the conversation about Harrison Barnes for Ben Simmons?
Because I still think that's a risk. I think that Ben Simmons and Andrew Wiggins are equal level risk. If anything, I mean, I would say Ben Simmons is probably even more of a risk.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons has been given the opportunity multiple times to be like, brother, here is your reclamation project. And he's like, I don't want to play basketball.
He doesn't.
What are you talking about?
That's been my whole thing with Ben Simmons. I just don't think he likes basketball
yeah.
that much. I think he woke up one day and he was 6'7".
He likes being famous, though.
He likes being famous.
Yeah. Which
he
the
likes,
Warrior thing would help.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He needs to be motivated.
Yeah, because Ben Simmons coming to Sacramento,
no,
he's going to have
no
to pull
way.
It out the mud if he's
no,
going to want.
He,
like, there's motivation. Is
His knee would immediately hurt. He would trip.
Look like Joel Embiid.
Plane.
Yeah,
yeah
He'd be like,
plane.
NBA, please come investigate me.
Yeah, I can't be on the court. I mean, I'm breaking rules. I'm doing a whole bunch of things that I shouldn't be doing. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation on the Kings, getting into some Niners talk as well. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Having a conversation about the wings. By the way, I mean, if we're going to talk wings, maybe I just have to do it, right?
You got to.
Is it lemon pepper for it? What's your favorite wing?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost
get
like...
Get on in here. And we're not doing the tender. We're not doing the boneless conversation. We're just doing flavors.
I just enjoy doing the like traditional buffalo sauce at whatever place I'm at. Like trying, because like that's the works. Like, let's see how you do bread and butter for sure.
That's a great call. Okay, Gordon Ramsay. Hey, how do you make an omelet?
Right.
I was trying to be obsessed with Gordon Ramsay right
now. Well, we're going. We still. Yeah. I'm not going to say it over the air because I don't want anybody to take our spots.
It's a lock.
It is a lock. It's not a lock, but I hope it's a lock. So you go Buffalo. Buffalo's your number one?
Generally, yeah.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm usually going Buffalo lemon pepper for the same reason as Nate. I feel like those are like the two, like the omelets, if you will. If you can't do a good lemon pepper wing or a good just like Buffalo hot, then you probably shouldn't be like lemon, that tells me about the quality of all your wings.
Lemon pepper is always a dry rub, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so that's
I don't think always.
Sometimes
but,
they put it like a little bit of butter to make a sauce.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I always go extra crispy. So back my wife's hometown, shout out Mannheim. It's a little spot called the Cat's Meow. And they have the best wings I've ever had.
Okay.
You go extra crispy. But then do a, and you can mix. So I do buffalo and garlic.
Sure, right.
Buffalo, garlic, extra crispy, best wing I've ever had.
That sounds good.
I hear legends of the lemon pepper wet in Atlanta. And
yes.
I gotta get some of that.
We gotta get some of that.
My favorite, if we're just going Oakland, place called Kato's. There was like a Korean barbecue wing.
Ooh.
Very good.
Solid. Yes.
Very good. With like the sesame seeds on it.
Well, they did wings at the Niner game for halftime.
Did they really?
Ooh.
Yes.
That would have been a problem.
Good food.
It was very good food. Shocking. I had garlic noodles beforehand and a little bit of tri-tip. It was outstanding. It's a Class A organization. That's why they're going back to the Super Bowl. Antonio.
Ranch or blue cheese?
Ranch.
Okay.
Every day of the week.
Just checking. I'll go blue cheese.
Just checking.
Because I go blue cheese because I'm a restaurateur. You know, I'm a foodie. So I go blue cheese. But I only go blue cheese on buffalo or lemon pepper. If it's I can't do the sesame or any of those, I'll go ranch. I can't go blue cheese.
Yeah, if you get like a sweeter like barbecue or something, you have to go ranch, I feel like.
Yeah, you gotta cross them out.
Can I just say I hate showing up to the Super Bowl party and there's buffalo or I'm sorry, there's barbecue wings. I just like, I don't.
I'll eat them.
I get
barbecue
why people
sauce
like them.
Wings or made on the barbecue?
No,
barbecue
wings.
Sauce wings. Okay.
You know, wings on the barbecue are banging.
Right.
Yeah,
they're so just good. Different, yeah. But they're banging. But yeah, no, I hear you.
Especially if that's the only wing option. I'm like, come on, y'all. Like,
do we? Okay, so we got on.
Because I understand like, people don't like kinda. Spice level, it's like, but it's like.
It's childish. So remember Nick Wright was getting on people for doing the Thanksgiving, it's bad radio, to do the what's your favorite meal at Thanksgiving? Is it also bad radio to do the, hey, what's your favorite Super Bowl food? Because I don't care, Nick. We're doing it next
Nick
week.
Nick Wright's got a bad haircut, so I don't care.
We're doing it next week, Nick. And you know he's got the Never a Doubt tattoo.
I saw that.
So the Niners.
What if we run into him at Radio Row?
Oh, I can't wait.
And he's got beef with us for this.
No, well, hopefully he does.
Oh,
we'll sit down with him. We're organizing things right now.
Let's just ask him about his food choices.
Please. Nick, we just want to talk to you about buffalo. You do blue cheese or ranch.
Hot dog, a sandwich?
Probably get up and leave. That's what he'll do. Before we get to the phone lines, Tony Harvey says, hey, Styles.
Hey, shout out, Tony.
Is that San Francisco Seal shirt in honor of the West Coast Negro Baseball Association? Yes, it was, Tony. Or yes, it is, Tony Harvey. Got this a couple years back. I was really upset. I really wanted to go to the Giants game last season when they celebrated the San Francisco Seals Negro League team, and they gave away. And if anybody got one, I don't know how nice they are, but I really wanted one of those jerseys. And I think we had the baby, or I tore my Achilles, and I couldn't get over there.
One or the other.
So my goal, I need to get a San Francisco Seals jersey as well. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Mitch wants to be a part of the conversation, talking Wiggins, talking Harrison Barnes. What's up, Mitch? What you got for us?
What's up, fellas? How we doing? Thanks, Tim Acola. How about straight up? But I'm liking the way Harrison Barnes is playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sabonis is a great rebounder. There's no tomorrow. Feed him the ball. I mean, I think overall, I think Barnes is a better player. Wiggins has been hurt more. At least Barnes is healthier. Maybe make him feel more a part of the team. I don't know. I think I like him. on the bench or starting. Let's keep him. We just get another squirrel.
Yeah.
That's all I think. Hmm.
Thanks for the call, Mitch. Yeah, I mean,
interesting.
If Wiggins can show back up, it's a what Wiggins are you getting? Yeah. What Barnes are you giving away?
Yeah.
These are two. It is the most interesting situation between these two guys because of how similar they are. Now, I would say I trust Harrison Barnes more.
Yeah.
But if you hit with Andrew Wiggins and you get that lightning in a bottle, I think what we've learned from the Warriors is that at best, you're getting a really good Wiggins for a short amount of time.
Yep.
That's, I think, what we need to keep in mind. At this point, at 28 years old, I think I feel confident saying that you're not going to get that Andrew Wiggins from 2022 for more than a season. I don't see that happening.
The problem is I know it's not great radio. You don't know. You can't.
But I'm staying away. We're going to Vegas next week. That is something that I would stay away from. That is not a gamble that I want to take. Shout out Dan Gamble.
There's risks that can be taken, but it's much. I don't want to say it's a massive risk because, HB isn't giving you incredibly irreplaceable production. He has these past couple games, but it seems like that might be over now. But, Andrew Wiggins is the younger guy, but to me, it would just feel like we're running it back with HB. Did you like the HB experience that you've gotten from the time that he got traded here until now? Mm-hmm. Well, let's just run it back. Let's roll back the clock.
But you could get
worse,
Chris.
We'll do the same
thing.
No, absolutely. It could be worse. It could end up bad.
Out of all the guys that we have discussed, sometimes I joke about my dad a lot on this show. He always was looking for the deal.
Yeah.
And sometimes you end up spending more money because you've tried to get through too many deals. I know you don't like the Jerami Grant contract, but at least you feel like you know what you're getting.
Yes.
Kyle Kuzma, you feel like you know what you're getting. Even a Zach LaVine, you feel like you know what you're getting. I don't care if it's a better deal. I'm trading Harrison Barnes, who is a glue guy, and I know he is a veteran on this team, for Andrew Wiggins, and I have no clue what I'm going to get.
Well, and the problem is, too, if this is where Andrew Wiggins' trade stock is right now with the context of what he did for the Warriors in the past, well, if we're starting that clock over with, what has Andrew Wiggins done in his imaginary Kings tenure here? It starts with what he does that season. And then, again, Wiggins is signed till 26, 27 or whatever.
You're stuck with him.
It's like, how do you move off of him? You could probably get more for just trading off Harrison Barnes. That's almost, we haven't talked about that part. That's almost selling low on HB's value.
Yeah.
It's like with where he's at now with the guys the Kings were looking at getting for Harrison Barnes, granted a Harrison Barnes package. Mm-hmm. That would, again, just be trading HB for the sake of trading HB. And as a matter of fact, it would be worse because you'd be getting more, you'd be acquiring more money and more years onto the player. So it just doesn't make sense, especially not for HB. If you want to maybe talk Herter and Mitchell, I still don't think it makes any sense, but it changes it a little bit. But
everybody needs wings.
I just feel like at the end of the day, Andrew Wiggins is not the right lottery ticket for this team to buy.
No. If we're talking about when everybody is getting upset and you're on social media and it's, we need to make a move, I don't think that's what people had in mind.
No. No, I didn't even think about that, the discourse that would happen.
Yeah.
If it's like, the Kings waited all season and this was the move?
And don't let him stink. Don't let the Kings get worse.
Because
you have to start him.
That's what I'm saying. That's the worst.
He's coming off the bench for a 12th place team.
Right. There you
go. Was missing, and he was coming off the bench while Draymond was suspended.
Yes.
What are we actually talking about?
Right. Right.
You can't get on. You can't play on that team.
Right.
Kuminga, and Chris doesn't even like Kuminga.
I really don't.
You can't start on that team, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah. No, that's the point right there. I mean, I know we've considered benching HB too, and maybe you could argue
the playoff
we should have.
Team.
But again, is that what you want? Is that the guy that you want to go out there and get? Is the guy that's essentially had, you listed off the numbers, he's literally having pretty much the same exact season as Harrison Barnes, except way more inefficient.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would you, why with where this team is at right now, where it feels like they're just kind of, I mean, they went on a 4-game losing streak and now go on a 4-game winning streak. It just doesn't feel like that's remotely the right risk to take. No. And, you know, the deadline's what we're creeping on a week away from the deadline here. You can get a better move than that. Like maybe if you're completely just, we have to make a move and we have to get rid of HB, which they don't feel this way. But if for whatever reason that were the case, maybe you can consider it. But even then, I don't think you would get a lot of kind words in return for making that move.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, an update on the Oakland/Las Vegas/Sacramento A's. And I was in the Bay Area. There is a world where there is a situation that happens with the A's that I promise you, you've never, ever heard of or probably never even imagined in your life. We get into that right here on Styles and Watkins at 12 o'clock. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.